Welcome. I'm here with my good friend and co-host, Chris Maver. Chris, what's in store for this month's program?
Thanks, Brother Hurd. We'll see the value of learning from the good example of Philip the Evangelizer. We'll also learn why Jehovah is still the best teacher today. And our new song shows how, by safeguarding our heart and mind, we can focus on Jehovah's blessings.
This is JW Broadcasting for April 2021. In addressing our theme, Is Your Best Good Enough? I'd like to start by reading Galatians 6:4. It says, But let each one examine his own actions, and then he will have cause for rejoicing in regard to himself alone, and not in comparison with the other person. We're told to examine our own actions. So ask yourself, How am I doing spiritually? Am I happy with my attendance at Christian meetings? Do I participate by sharing meaningful comments as able? How about my personal study of the Bible? Let me examine my involvement in the ministry. Could I do better in preparing for my return visits? Do I conduct any Bible studies with interested ones? If so, am I content with what I am doing? In effect, you're asking yourself, is my best good enough? We might see others in the congregation that are doing more than we are. But then we look back at Galatians 6:4 again, and it clearly said that I should not compare myself with the other person. So we could quickly assume that we're doing what we can, reasoning that it's good enough. But let's not forget the first part of the verse. We are to examine our own actions. We need to compare what we are doing with what we personally could be doing. We need to be active and not become self-satisfied and overconfident. 1 Corinthians 10:12 provides this warning. So let the one who thinks he is standing beware that he does not fall. But you may say, I'm doing my best. What more can I do? Take a good look at your best. Scrutinize it. Examine very closely all you're doing with the time that you have. Can mundane activity be replaced with theocratic activity? What do you see? Is your best good enough? It may be, it may not. It depends on one's outlook. What are some examples? A runner in a race, he practices, trains, eats the right things, keeps a lean, healthy body, wears the best running shoes, and so forth. He gives his best but loses the race to someone faster. His best was not good enough. Why? It was compared to whether he was faster than his competitors. Johann Blake lost to Usain Bolt in a 100-meter event in 2012 by just a fraction of a second. He did his best, but his best wasn't good enough. A mother and daughter. The daughter is in the second grade of school. She brings home a picture she drew in class. The teacher had put a B- on the picture. The daughter shows it to her mother, and the mother crosses out the B- and puts an A+ on it. She then tapes the picture on the refrigerator. What is the difference between the teacher and the mother? The teacher compares the student to other classmates of her age. The mother grades her according to her best, not in comparison with others. Jehovah does not compare your best with the best of others. Let's look at Psalm 103:14. When Jehovah examines our spiritual accomplishments, what's one of his measuring sticks? Psalm 103:14, "For he well knows how we are formed, remembering that we are dust." Dust is used figuratively, indicating mankind's frailty and lowliness. Remembering that we are dust, Jehovah never asks more of us than we can give. However, he expects us to obey his commands to the best of our own ability. Mark 12:30. You can likely quote it from memory. Verse 30 says, "You must love Jehovah your God with your whole heart and with your whole soul and with your whole mind and with your whole strength." This embraces everything we have, all that we are. You go in service. You use your whole strength to accomplish it. That's commendable. But what good is it to use our whole strength going into the service if our mind cannot direct our tongue to say the right things when we talk to a person? I used a lot of my strength walking from door to door, climbing stairs, and so forth. And yet no one let me get past my introduction. Question: was that the best introduction you could give? How long have you been using that introduction? Would a new one help? Would using your whole mind by means of advanced preparation result in making your best even better? Have you tried to use some of the introductions demonstrated at our midweek meetings, or some of those found in the reasoning from the Scriptures book, pages 9 through 15? What does the householder see in your face when she opens the door? Is your countenance radiating pleasantness and kindness? Does she see good news or bad news? Do you look happy or sad? The message we're commissioned to deliver today is the good news of the kingdom. We expect it to change sometime in the near future. Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, you can do better. You attend all congregation meetings and pay rapt attention with your mind. You're to be commended. But is that all that's required to love Jehovah with our whole mind? Are we meditating on the knowledge that we receive at our meetings in order to draw close to Jehovah? James 4:8 says, "Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you." That's one benefit we receive from our meeting attendance. Let's read Hebrews 10:24-25. This is another benefit of regular meeting attendance. In this way, we give and receive encouragement. Verses 24 and 25 read, "And let us consider one another so as to incite to love and fine works, not forsaking our meeting together, as some have the custom, but encouraging one another, and all the more so as you see the day drawing near." Do you give comments at meetings? Are they well prepared? Do they encourage your brothers and sisters? Are you giving your best? If so, then your best is good enough. What about your personal study? or family worship? Are you doing your best? Is your best good enough? I read all the watchtowers and the wakes when they come out, you say. It goes without saying that that's good. What did you find in what you read that will deepen your love and appreciation for Jehovah and draw you closer to Him? Do you use your whole mind to meditate and continue to think about it, thus spiking it down deep into your heart? Some things we learn may not be immediately applicable, but can be regurgitated and applied later as needed. Are you giving serious attention to the spiritual needs of your wife and children? Yes, you have a family worship most weeks. That's commendable. Do you prepare well for it, or just throw something together at the last minute? What if your wife just threw something on the table for dinner each evening without giving any thought to the health needs of the family? Think. Is your best good enough? We can slop a pig and he'll enjoy it, but give the same garbage to a cow and she'll ignore it. Why are we considering is your best good enough? It's only as a reminder to look at what we think to be our best in what we're doing for ourselves, our families, and our spiritual brothers and sisters. And remember, our best is not compared with the best of another brother or sister. Only Jehovah knows when we're doing our best. He is a righteous and fair judge. Our knowledge, even of ourselves, can be faulty due to inherited sin. Therefore, it's wisdom on our part to keep examining ourselves to see where we might improve. So, is your best good enough? I'd like to think it is. What do you think?
What would you like to be known for? In the first century, a servant of Jehovah named Philip was known as the evangelizer. In the following dramatization, we'll learn how Philip earned this reputation and what we can apply from his good example.
Please find your seats. It's time to start our graduation program.
We never dreamed this would happen.
This is a very special day all of us have been anxiously waiting for. We're happy to see all of you.
It all started a few years ago.
If you'd like to have the circuit overseer and his wife for a meal, please see.
It was during that visit and this question.
His theme on Tuesday is, what lessons can we learn from Philip, the evangelizer?
What could we learn from Philip? Honestly, we were already busy with the right things. Lily and the girls helped out wherever they could. I worked on Kingdom Hall maintenance projects. And we had a regular schedule for the ministry. But like in a lot of places, when someone showed interest, it was tough to find them again. I wondered if our spiritual routine needed an update. Looking forward to that talk, I decided we'd research Philip for family worship. Acts chapter 6. Philip was one of seven brothers selected to distribute food to Christian widows in Jerusalem. That was an important assignment. But he did so much more than that.
This is interesting. Because of the persecution, Philip had to flee from Jerusalem to Samaria. Hadn't accepted the word of Jehovah yet. But Philip saw that trial as a spiritual opportunity. Samaria was largely untouched by the preaching work. Philip declared the good news zealously. And many believed and got baptized. But sometime later, an angel spoke with him. He told Philip to get up and go to the south. That led him to find the Ethiopian eunuch and preach in other cities. Philip was willing to serve wherever there was a need.
And he always kept that evangelizing spirit. Some 20 years later, he was still known as the evangelizer.
By that time, his life had changed. He was a family man with four daughters. But that didn't stop him from showing hospitality when Paul and his companions came to visit. Visits like that must have been full of spiritual lessons for his daughters.
That night, we came up with a few things we wanted to do.
We started by having the Sukkot overseer to lunch. We hadn't made time for that in a while.
Alex and Carla's experiences made the girls excited to reach their own spiritual goals. Like Philip, changes came that we didn't expect. I was out of work for a few months. It was a stressful time, but also a spiritual opportunity. I could visit people at different times of the day. We tried to make the most of the situation and preach zealously. Like Philip. And here we are, watching our girls graduate from the School for Kingdom Evangelizers. Those few lessons made a big difference for this family of evangelizers.
The Bible is rich with examples like Philip, and we have many fine examples among Jehovah's people in our day. Learning from them helps us make good decisions and manage serious issues. Let's pay attention to this interview with Eugene and Odile Intezarayo, who attended the 145th class of Gilead. What can we learn from their example of faith and endurance?
With us today, we have Eugene and Odile Nezadiayo. They've graduated from the 145th class of Gilead, and they lived through this mayhem. Odile, now your family is Tutsi. Now this must have certainly put them in danger.
The killing was happening all over the country, so my parents and my brother were killed. I saw that some religious leaders were involved in killing people and genocide. I couldn't believe how people who were previously living together, friendly, now they start killing their neighbors.
How did you get contact with the truth?
So after the genocide, I was taken by my aunt, whose family were Jehovah's Witnesses. So I began studying the Bible with them. I was in the Live Forever book, I saw a picture of a priest blessing people in the church, and then he was blessing troops who were going to kill. But also, I could see how brothers and sisters in the congregation, with love and courage, risked their life to take care of one another.
Oh, that's touching. Mm-hmm. Now, Eugene, your family was not a direct target of the violence, but what other hardships did you face?
The economic situation was very difficult. My family had no money, and they could not buy food. I remember my mom, I can still see her lying on the bed in complete despair, not knowing what she can do for us children. The elders asked me to go to the Kingdom Hall, and when I arrived, they handed me 18,000 Rwandan francs. The elders told me that my brothers and sisters from abroad offered us this gift. So I immediately ran back home, found my mom still lying on the bed. I gave her the money. I can still see my mom crying because of the joy and thankfulness of what the brothers had done.
Excellent. Now, looking back at all the injustices you and your family have suffered, Odile, what has helped you to not become a bitter person?
The preaching work is very important to me because the more I talk about the Bible promises, they become real to me. For example, when I talk about the resurrection hope, the condition of the dead, this helped me to feel that my loved ones are not suffering anymore. And they are waiting to be resurrected. So this makes me feel happy.
The scripture that comes to mind is 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, where the apostle John repeated this Jesus command of loving one another just as Jesus loved us. Christians during that time were facing persecution, and now they needed a fresh application of that scripture in their lives. We all love one another, but during difficult moments like the one our brothers in Rwanda went through, they needed that fresh application of this very commandment of Jesus, like one loving one another to the point of risking our lives for our brothers. Being here in Gilead has reminded me of that fact, that I really need to love my brothers and sisters as Jesus loved us.
You brothers and sisters in Rwanda have given us a wonderful example of courage and faith and love. Please know we love you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of Extraordinary Experiences.
That was a very moving experience. We can imitate the good example of our brothers in Rwanda by taking care of brothers and sisters when they're in need. In recent years, our video dramas have brought to life Jonah, Josiah, and other examples of faith. Have you wondered how our brothers ensure that these dramas are both vivid and accurate? Well, let's go behind the scenes of one of our latest dramas, Nehemiah, The Joy of Jehovah is Your Stronghold.
In Nehemiah's day, the Jews joyfully embarked on a massive building project. With Jehovah's direction and help, they were able to finish the work in just 52 days.
You look like you've been working.
During the production of the film, Nehemiah, The Joy of Jehovah is Your Stronghold, the walls of Jerusalem were built once again, but this time at Mount Ebo Studios in Brewster, New York. A variety of skills were needed to produce this drama. With many volunteers coming together using their time, energy, and abilities to create an accurate teaching tool. And they found great joy in their work. Good planning was needed right at the start of production. Every day began with a scriptural discussion and prayer. The costume and makeup departments prepared the actors to appear on set. Assistance was provided to help actors feel more comfortable in front of the cameras.
And action!
Brothers, please. Have they attacked anyone yet?
No, but they will.
While the production team was filming in one studio, sets were being prepared on another. To add to the realism, detailed props were made, many using 3D printing. With all of these researched and crafted costumes, sets, and props combined, environments were designed to accurately recreate the time period. But even more was needed to convey what it was like to live in Jerusalem during Nehemiah's day. For example, there were many animals on set. Even after principal filming was completed, sets built in the studio were extended using advanced visual effects. Digital construction work was done by the visual effects team. Yes, building is a legacy of God's people. Nehemiah was one of many who throughout history devoted their energies to supporting the work of building. In a similar way, the production team that made Nehemiah, The Joy of Jehovah Is Your Stronghold, joyfully worked hard to produce a film that helps build love and appreciation in the hearts of God's people.
We learn from good examples like Nehemiah and many others. But as we'll see in our next video, we also learn important lessons from those who made poor decisions.
I was born to two Christian parents. They always tried to instill in us a love for Jehovah. But I felt quite lonely growing up, and I felt like I didn't have people who wanted to do the same things. The lifestyle, the way they spoke, the music they were listening to. And so for me, the real struggle was, where do I stand? Where are my boundaries going to be set? It's really hard, because it could be the difference between having a friend and not having a friend.
Over the years, I've talked to several who perhaps drifted a little bit in the truth. And that unfortunately happened to some of my friends. And nobody is immune to the pressures of the world.
I was born and raised by Christian parents. So all through my childhood and teenage years, I was happy serving Jehovah. But it got a little bit harder when I started to work. People at work would ask to do social activities with them, go for a drink and things, but there were men who would ask me to go out with them. It's flattering when someone shows interest in you. So it was nice, but it was hard to have to constantly remind yourself, well, you know that this is not going to be successful. You know this person doesn't love Jehovah.
I remember one day I drove into a parking lot and I just prayed to Jehovah with tears in my eyes and I said, this is too hard. This is just too hard. The people that were my friends are starting to leave the truth. I feel quite lonely, but I want to serve you. After that prayer, I went home. I spoke to my mom and she got really quiet and she just looked at me and said, anything Jehovah tells you is to benefit yourself. And it clicked in that moment that Jehovah was saying to me, I love you. I will carry you through this time. And you'll see that there'll be all these blessings that open up to you and you'll have a really wonderful, colorful life, but you have to hang in there.
Even though it was hard, I resisted the temptation. But someone close to me who faced the same pressure gave in and ended up leaving Jehovah. When I heard that she was disfellowshipped, it just completely hit me so hard, because you really are just worried about what is going to happen with their future. After a while, she did come back to Jehovah. She's raising a child on her own. One day we were having a video chat, and with a little one just playing in the background. But she suddenly turned around and went, Mommy, why did you marry someone who doesn't love Jehovah? So she understood that we need to live according to Jehovah's standards.
As elders, we can help people to get up and get back on the path to life. And it's a real pleasure. I'm reminded about the account of David. Eventually, he was forgiven by Jehovah because he had a good heart. However, there were consequences all through his life.
I've received so many blessings for sticking to Jehovah. I found a lovely brother to marry in the Christian congregation, and we're very happy together. The thing to do is just stick with Jehovah, taste and see that Jehovah is good. When you do that, you will appreciate that there is absolutely no need to go anywhere else.
Having observed what has happened to people who've left the truth, and the baggage they sometimes end up carrying when they come back into the truth, it makes me feel it's just not worth it. Really, Jehovah's like a parent. He wants to protect us and care for us. Things will always work out for the best if you do things Jehovah's way. I feel my family has had many blessings as a husband and a father. I've got four children who've all grown up in the truth, and they've all gone on to have good theocratic lives where they've enjoyed many privileges of service. So for me, it's been a real blessing to do things Jehovah's way.
Think when you test out the world, Satan will give you immediate satisfaction. But when you serve no purpose to him anymore, that's it. One of the most beautiful blessings I've received is people. People around you who love Jehovah, who want to serve him the way you do. I really strongly believe that Jehovah not only gives us a lot of blessings, but gives us blessings that he's handpicked for us.
My observation would be, experience is not the best teacher, Jehovah is the best teacher.
Jehovah wants us to be happy and avoid the painful consequences of bad decisions. If you're facing a test of integrity in some way, remember that, as our brother said, Jehovah is our best teacher. Of course, if we're to learn from Jehovah, we have to allow him to teach us. We must let him mold us. This was the topic of a recent morning worship by Brother Gary Brough.
Our scripture here, Isaiah 64, verse 8, clearly establishes that Jehovah God is the potter, the great potter, in fact, and we are the clay. Now, in what way is he molding us? Well, one way is through adjusting our Christian personality. Now, how does he do that? Well, he uses his word, the Bible, his Holy Spirit, and the Christian congregation. So what we're going to do is to talk about how Jehovah helps to mold our personality. What's the process that's used? We're going to talk about two aspects of the Christian personality, humility and kindness. So we said one way Jehovah uses to mold our personality is his word, the Bible. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says that God's word has tremendous power. So we take individual scriptures, as we are reading it, we look at our own personality. What does it say about me? How can I improve? Let's take an example of humility. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. We see how this is a powerful aid to us. Here's what we should do. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Do nothing out of contentiousness or out of egotism, but with humility consider others superior to you, as you look not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. So when we read this scripture, we look at ourselves and say, well, how am I doing in this? Do I see that I have made progress, especially if this has been an issue in the past? Is Jehovah somehow nudging me, adjusting me, molding me by means of this powerful scripture? Ask ourselves, humility. You know, am I the person that always seems to be in charge? Do I give across that attitude to others? Or, as it says here, do I view others as superior? You know, maybe even saying, I admit that sister has more patience than I have, or that brother is really a better teacher than I am. So, you see, by the means of individual scriptures, Jehovah God can help to mold our thinking. Now, in addition to the individual scripture, the Bible also provides examples of that quality in action. And so the Watchtower comment for today uses Christ Jesus as an example in humility. So let's open to that scripture. It's referred to as Luke chapter 22. And as we read the account, we think, you know, what can I learn? How did he handle it? How can I apply it? So 22:24, this took place the evening before his death. It says, however, there also arose a heated dispute among them over which one of them was considered to be the greatest. Well, automatically we see there's a problem of humility here. Well, so let's move down now to verses 26 and 27. He says, you, though, are not to be that way, but let the one who is the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the one taking the lead as the one ministering. For which one is greater, the one dining or the one serving? Is it not the one dining? But I am among you as the one serving. Now, these were not just words, because the apostles had seen 3.5 years of beautiful example of Jesus serving others, truly a humble man. And through our Bible reading, too, we've seen this example of humility that we can apply. So it's good for us to ask ourselves, am I a proud person? Do I give off that impression to others? Do I view myself as one dining or as one serving? Well, now another way that Jehovah uses to mold our Christian personality is the Holy Spirit. Now, how does that work? Well, if you look at Galatians chapter 5, in verse 19, it talks about the works of the flesh. And then in verse 22, it refers to the fruitage of the Spirit. Works of the flesh, fruitage of the Spirit. Now work, it's a result of what one does. It's the product of your actions. Yeah, and so the Apostle Paul lists, as you see there under works of the flesh, various results that come as a result of a conscious effort on an individual's part are possibly because of human imperfection. But on the other hand, Paul talks about the fruitage of the Spirit, not work, but the fruitage it results in. And this is implying that qualities that are listed there as fruitage of the Spirit are not the result of some sort of program we get into to adjust our character, but it's the operation of God's Spirit upon the individual. It's this tremendous force and power from Jehovah God that moves us in certain ways. It may be to recognize Scripture, to listen to counsel. Yes, we need to pray for His Holy Spirit so we can develop those Christian qualities that Paul mentions. So when you look at verse 22, one of those qualities is kindness. How important is that for the Christian personality? So when the great potter looks at us, does he see a need for adjustments in the way we display kindness to others? See, are we praying to Jehovah God, please, Jehovah, help me develop this fruitage of the Spirit? Here again, the Bible gives examples of individuals that had kindness. It's the quality in action, so to speak. And in this case, Jehovah God, of course, is the greatest example. Here it is. In Genesis chapter 3, it describes in verse 7 that after Adam and Eve ate the fruit, then they recognized their nakedness. So what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together as clothing. But now in verse 21, before putting them out of the Garden of Eden into the thorns and thistles, what did Jehovah do? Well, it says, He made long garments out of skin to clothe them. Now that's the ultimate of kindness. See, we want to allow these examples to touch us in ways that moves us to be kind to others. Now, one benefit of kindness is that people are drawn to that kind of person. Now, Proverbs 11, verse 17 says this, a kind man benefits himself. Yeah, it's enjoyable being around a kind person, isn't it? A kind person easily finds and keeps good friends. Now, the ministry school textbook says that one who is kind and mild-tempered is gentle in his way of doing things. Now, under the chapter voice quality, here's what it says. People are greatly influenced by not only by what is said, but also by how it is said. If a person speaking to you has a voice that is pleasant, warm, friendly and kind, is it not true that you are more inclined to listen favorably? Well, certainly it is. And I might say the November study edition of the Watchtower that we just received has a beautiful article in it entitled Kindness, a Quality Expressed in Word and Action. So, when it comes to our Christian personality, especially involving humility and kindness, as we've talked about today, may each of us respond to the molding of Jehovah God. He uses His Word, the Bible, and He uses His Holy Spirit. Now, we also said Jehovah uses the congregation. So, may we all be responsive to counsel that we receive either from the platform or maybe individual counsel to improve in these areas. And if we respond correctly, then we can say, as recorded in Isaiah 64:8, "But now, O Jehovah, You are our Father. We are the clay, and You are our potter. We are all the work of Your hand."
Do you sometimes feel that your best is not good enough? As Brother Hurd said earlier, it can happen. But as our new song reminds us, we overcome these feelings by safeguarding our heart and mind.
Inside my mind, doubting if I measure up, wondering if I do enough. I lie awake and pray to You, because You told me that's what I should do. When anxious thoughts surround me, Jehovah, safeguard my heart and safeguard my mind. Stay focused on good things in life. I won't give in to what gets me down. I'll safeguard my mind and peace will be found.
What an encouraging song for all of us. Although we saw a sister facing discouraging moments, it affects everyone. Men, couples, young ones, the elderly. Throughout our program, we saw how Jehovah teaches us through the examples of others. Philip inspires us to have the evangelizing spirit. We learned how Jehovah helps us avoid mistakes and disappointments. And we saw how Jehovah used brothers and sisters to help Eugene and Odile through very difficult times. And our music video reminds us that safeguarding our mind and heart helps us focus on Jehovah's blessings. Before we say goodbye, let's enjoy our video postcard, which comes to us from our brothers and sisters in the Republic of Lithuania. Lithuania is a small country on the eastern edge of the Baltic Sea. The land features beautiful coastline, forests, rivers, and thousands of lakes. Castles dot the scenery. For centuries, the Baltic Sea has washed ashore pieces of fossilized tree resin known as amber, and to this day, Lithuanian craftsmen form it into jewelry. Nearly 3,000 publishers are sharing the good news here. They conduct more than 1,800 Bible studies every month. Our brothers participate in many forms of the ministry. They enjoy the door-to-door work in cities and villages, and they're active in public witnessing throughout the country. Klaipėda is home to Lithuania's largest port. Cruise ships bring tourists from many countries. In the center of the city, our brothers have set up a kiosk where people can take literature in multiple languages and watch videos on JW.org. Informal witnessing is also effective in reaching people on the shore of the Baltic Sea, in the resort town of Birštenas, and in the city of Kaunas. The Curonian Spit is a lush 100-kilometer or 60-mile strip of land that rests between the Baltic Sea and the Curonian Lagoon. It's a popular tourist destination, and Jehovah's Witnesses are there to greet them. Our brothers enjoy getting together for encouraging association. They watch JW broadcasting programs and enjoy hospitality. Favorite Lithuanian dishes include šašlyk, skewered grilled meat, and cold borscht soup, which is made of beets and sour cream, served with hot potatoes. Our brothers and sisters in Lithuania send their warm love and greetings.
Thank you, Chris. That was an encouraging program. We want you to know we love you, brothers, very much. From the world headquarters of Jehovah's Witnesses, this is JW Broadcasting.